Tom Plum, the president and chief investment officer for the Plum Funds, is here. It's time to talk stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening on the market today, and how they're putting it all together. We find out what they like and dislike. We find out how they feel about some of your favorite stocks and more. And today, the experienced manager we're talking to is Tom Plum. He runs the Plum Funds. Plum, P-L-U-M-B. Why am I spelling it for you? Because plumfunds.com is the website that you can go to for more information on the Plum Balanced Fund, P-L-B-B-X, and the Plum Equity Fund, P-L-B-E-X. Tom Plum, great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. It's wonderful to be here.
I would always love to just like, let's jump straight into stock talk, but we can't do it because methodology matters, because what goes into your buys and sells is really important for anybody who wants to determine how they feel about your recommendations. So explain the methodology.
Well, Chuck, the Plum Funds, what we like to believe, or what we do believe, is that companies that are growing can be great investment opportunities. Companies that are not growing are not. So we tend to avoid being called a value investor because we don't think that companies that are not growing are anything but potential value traps. So what we look for is companies that we see have a revenue model that is recurring in most cases, that's growing, that's dynamic, that is leading this disruptive technology that we see. So we own a lot of companies that we think are either leading this or enabling it or benefiting from the digital revolution, the fourth industrial revolution, if you will. Then what we try to do is to moderate the volatility of those companies because they can be really bouncy. You know, if you look, you've actually had over 10% of the time, if you bought, for example, a company like Amazon, you had 20% losses 6 months later. So you really want to be able to be a long-term investor, but try to moderate some of that volatility so that you can stick with these winners over time.
Of course, the pandemic helped us see that, you know, hey, losses and bounce backs, et cetera. But you've been doing this for a long time. I'm not calling you old, Tom. I'm just saying that you're experienced. This has been a different experience. What are your expectations for what's next and how much will next look like what we've seen? Because we know from studies that investors think, you know, hey, gangbusters is continuing. But I can't imagine that you would be saying, yeah, 17.5% annualized returns after inflation. I think that's normal.
Well, it certainly is not normal, and we will have tests, many of them going forward. Right now, we are in a accommodated environment with low interest rates, still low inflation, and an economy that's recovering. So we think the convergence of those companies that are benefiting from the expanding economy, but also benefiting from this incredible secular trend towards the digital revolution. And that involves payment companies. It involves companies that are artificial intelligence, companies that are cloud-based. Those companies that are still going to benefit from this incredible secular trends that are changing how we do everything. And then when you converge that with a recovering economy, that means a lot of these companies that like a MasterCard or a Visa, for example, that were impacted last year by the recession, the pandemic, the lack of point of sale purchases, the lack of international transactions, those companies are going to have a cyclical component that's going to be amplified by the fact that we do a lot more purchasing with plastic than we ever did before, and we'll continue as a percentage of our sales to use a lot more digital wallet.
You know, it's interesting because digital wallet and your affection for that brings me to an odd question, because here we are talking stocks, but what about crypto? I mean, does that mean that you're also looking to get into crypto, not necessarily by owning cryptocurrency, though I'd be curious, but by owning blockchain, things along those lines as well?
Well, Chuck, you made a great distinction there. The crypto is incredible technology that's going to be used by a lot of financial companies for transactions. So MasterCard, for example, has one of the most robust intellectual property portfolios of any company out there. But when we talk about crypto as a currency, you know, and obviously you've got a number of them, Bitcoin's the most famous. You start thinking, why would you use an asset that I am making a case for it being a something that is got a shortage, that something that there's going to be demand, but the supply isn't there, so it should go up in value. Why would I ever use that for a transaction? If I thought that the dollar was going to continue to decline compared to other options, I would spend the dollars. I wouldn't spend my Bitcoin, especially for something that is disposable. You know, why would I ever consider using a valuable asset? You know, it'd be like, why would I use my Amazon stock to go to Starbucks? You know, if I thought that Amazon was going to continue to grow, I know that if I buy something at Starbucks, it's going to be drank and go down the toilet 2 hours later. So we really believe that the crypto technology and the enablers, companies like NVIDIA, which is the chip company that makes a lot of this possible, is a very valuable technology and is going to be continued to develop because of its secure features that allow financial transactions around the world. But as far as the coins, we're still a little cynical.
Okay. Now, let's also point out that if you're looking at an NVDA, and you're looking at it as a picks and shovels to the financial industry kind of play, and you like a MasterCard and the payment processors, how much do you load up? I mean, are you willing to let your portfolio have MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, NVIDIA, and be super heavy on the payment processors? Or do you have to, based on the methodology of the fund, basically make it, I'll pick the best of breed and I won't touch the others?
You're absolutely right. We've let those holdings become our largest five holdings. When you look at that, they're each a little bit different. You know, MasterCard maybe is more international than Visa. PayPal has got its own characteristics with Venmo and their partnerships. But we do believe that you do have to have some discipline about protecting yourself from your best ideas occasionally. So we tend to keep stock holdings at the most around 5% of our portfolio, and they have to grow to get there. But if we continue to see all the factors to be intact, we're reluctant to sell or to eliminate a holding where we think that the dynamics are still so amazing.
Okay. So what else stands out to you right now? What else is something that you like and that fits in with your methodology and your themes?
Well, we think that some of the technology out there in the healthcare area, certainly the news the last couple of years has been about the pandemic and the vaccinations and things like that. But if you take a company like Intuitive Surgical, which is the robotic, the Da Vinci robotics that's used for a lot of soft tissue surgery, and you have the ability to throw 5G on top of it, and you have the factor that it allows a surgeon, maybe a very good surgeon, to become an excellent surgeon, but also extend the life of the surgeon, because it's a very physical job when you start doing hand surgery. You can probably extend the life of a doctor maybe 10 years. At the same time, you're going to get more and more use of what they will qualify. I think there's over 10 or 15,000 papers written on intuitive surgicals and the robotic surgery techniques. We think that those are companies that, again, you know, have a niche. They're going to keep growing, and we like a lot of the innovations that are done in the healthcare industry.
And is there a name or two that stands out particularly?
Well, we like Garden Technology, so which is helping us to find more in the cancer detection, and not necessarily the detection, but the identifying what factors will allow the most successful treatment of cancer. So we like Garden Technology. We like Intuitive Surgical. We're continuously looking at other companies that we think could be more interesting and develop great growth stories. But those are the two that come to mind.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
It certainly is wonderful to hear Tom Plum talk about stocks. He is the president and chief investment officer at the Plum Funds. PlumFunds.com, the website, to learn more about Plum Balanced and Plum Equity, PLBBX, PLBEX, the respective tickers. If you want to get involved in Quick and Dirty, you need to send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. Hopefully they'll make it into an interview soon. They don't always make it into an interview soon. Carlos in Santiago, Chile, sent us some requests a while back, and one is finally making it in today. It probably falls into that mix of some of the stocks we were just talking about. It's Exact Sciences Corp., EXAS.
Exact Sciences, we like that company. They've revolutionized the low-impact colon cancer detection by using instead of a colonoscopy, using something that is gene-based, and it's a fecal test that you can do at home. And they are expanding their portfolio of cancer detection capability. We like that stock a lot. We think it's a buy even today.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
That's a buy on Exact Sciences Corp., EXAS. Richard in Chula Vista, California, wanted to know about MITEC Systems, MITK.
MITEC Systems, another company that we like at the Plum Funds, primarily. You know, the millennials may not write checks, but they cash them. And if you now use the application where you take a picture of a check and deposit it, that's MITEC Systems. They have partnerships with over 5,000 different financial institutions. Because of that, they're also now expanding into identification verification, because so many things are being signed and done remotely. We think that this company has got a great future. It's going to continue to be something that's trusted by financial institutions, and this identity and remote processing of checks is here to stay. This is the leader.
Don't worry if the price starts going up, just keep buying.
That's a buy on MITK, MITEC Systems. A different systems in this one. Cisco Systems, CSCO, is the pick for Mike in Redwood City, California, Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and Tom in San Francisco.
Well, Cisco Systems obviously been around a long time. It was one of the great leaders before the tech bubble burst in the late 90s. But we would say, why not find a company that's growing? If you're going to look at software-enabled hardware companies, there are a lot of them out there that are really developing and growing. We just think that the market that we're in today, why would you own a company that's basically a single-digit grower in the technology area when there's so many more compelling opportunities?
Oh, boy, that sounded bad.
That is an avoid or a sell on CSCO, Cisco Systems. Dave in Beaver Dams, New York, wants to know about Alibaba Group Holdings. That ADR trades under BABA, B-A-B-A.
Well, in the past, we've liked Alibaba a lot, but I would say that the developments in China right now have put a big question mark over any of these large tech companies that are based in China. we would just stay on the sidelines and say, why wouldn't you just stay with a company like Amazon, where you know what the characteristics are, the regulatory environment, and it's still growing faster right now than Alibaba.
So Baba, Alibaba Group.
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
That's either a hold or a sell or an avoid, I guess is really the right way to do it. But you could buy Amazon, AMZN, Amazon.com, if you are looking for something in that space. We're going to stay in that space for our last pick. John in Seattle wants to know about Mercado Libre. It's ticker symbol MELI, and it's kind of known as the Amazon, or in some cases, maybe the Alibaba of like Central and South America.
Yeah, I know that this is a stock that always appears expensive, but we would say it reminds us of Amazon 3 or 5 years ago. Always looks expensive, but it is, as you've pointed out, the Amazon and the PayPal of Latin America. And this is an area where they're just starting to use a digital wallet. It's amplified. It's growing so fast. It was over 70% in the last quarter. We think that this is going to continue to be a buy.
So we finish on a high note. It's a buy on Mercado Libre, MELI.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And we've got one more goodbye that we have to deal with. That's the one where we say our goodbye to Tom Plum. But Tom, always great to chat with you. I look forward to the next conversation already.
All right. Thanks, Chuck.
Tom Plum is president and chief investment officer of the Plum Funds. Plumfunds.com, P-L-U-M-B, plumfunds.com for more information. We'll be back to tell you where Tom agreed and disagreed with other guests and let you know what's coming tomorrow before we cross the finish line.